This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Hello, and welcome to Landwise, Promoting Sustainable Crop Production, a podcast series about sustainable ways to grow food in New Zealand. I'm Georgia O'Brien, Extension Coordinator for Landwise based in Hastings. Landwise has been around since 1999, helping farmers and growers to develop and test new practices through on-farm trials and extending cutting-edge research to the farm or orchard gate. Through our podcast series, we are bringing the insights of lead researchers, technologists, and farmers to listeners from all over the ag and hort industry. Each month has a theme, with guests joining us weekly for discussions. At the end of the month, we'll have them back as a panel to talk together and respond to your queries. This month, we're looking at edge-of-field treatments, brought to you by our platinum sponsors, BASF, Hawke's Bay Regional Council, Vegetables New Zealand, and Processed Vegetables New Zealand. Today I'm talking to Fernando Avendano, a Massey University PhD student originally from Chile. Fernando has a background in edge-of-field treatments to reduce nutrient losses from cropping systems. He studied the use of vegetated buffer strips to prevent nitrogen loss from maize paddocks and is now working on a range of N-loss mitigation trials in the Horowhenua district of Manawatu. Thanks for joining me, Fernando. Can you describe what a vegetated buffer strip is and what benefits this edge-of-field treatment can provide?
Yes, so buffer strips are vegetated areas adjacent to surface water bodies, such as drains or streams or rivers. They are normally chosen and recommended for being an economic mitigation option, and they have also been demonstrated to be quite effective in reducing nitrogen, and they are also part of the good management practices of many countries. Now, to understand how buffer strips work, it's quite useful to know some basics around the nitrogen cycle. I won't dig much into it, but basically, nitrogen losses from soils are given mostly by the movement and transformation of nitrate. Now, nitrate can reach surface water through runoff and groundwater through a process called leaching, but it can also be transformed to atmospheric nitrogen through a process called denitrification, or it can also be taken up by plants or converted to organic nitrogen, which is less mobile.
Right, so nitrogen can be lost to water, it can be lost as nitrogen gas, which is harmless to the environment, or it can be taken up by the plant and converted into organic matter, which is more stable.
Yes, exactly. Now, the strategy behind buffer strips is first to decrease the surface water movement or runoff, and so promoting the infiltration of this water and holding sediments and nitrogen absorbed to this sediment. And once water moves toward the subsurface environment, nitrate is removed mainly through denitrification and plant uptake. And so now this is why normally buffer strips are composed by shallow-rooted plants, such as grasses, and deep-rooted plants, such as shrubs or trees. Now, scientific articles suggest that some factors that affect buffer strips' performance are like the composition of the buffer strip, or the soil type, or the hydrology, and the position in landscape, etc. But we were particularly curious about the width of buffer strips and see if it plays a major role in nitrogen removal efficiency. So we decided to go with narrow buffer strips because they used less space of productive area, and they could be easily adopted by farmers.
Right, so you were looking at what's the smallest area that we can convert into these buffer strips and therefore lose less productive land, but still get some benefit from the plantings.
Exactly, yes.
So, how effective are these buffer strips at reducing nitrogen loss, and do seasonal factors impact their capacity to buffer out nitrogen losses and sediment to waterways?
So I'll first talk a little bit about where did we do this study. And, well, I'm from the center of Chile.
Yeah.
And an important part of the agriculture here is composed by small-scale paddocks of arable crops. And so the study took place between the 2012 and 2014 in two maize fields from small-scale farmers. And our aim was to represent one of the most frequent farming realities of the area. So in this area, we had a climate, temperate climate, with strong rainfall in winter and dry conditions in summer, which could be closer to what could be Hastings in Hawke's Bay. We also assessed the performance of these buffer strips in two different soil types. One of them was more sandy soil, and the other one was clay soil. And we assessed three different types of buffer strips. One of them was composed only by grass, another one with grass and shrubs, and the third one was a combination of grass, shrubs, and trees in a 5-meter wide strip. So in terms of results, all of the buffer strips were effective in reducing nitrogen losses compared to the control treatment. So the control treatment was a bare soil, and the most efficient ones were the ones with tree in their composition, with around 60 to 80% nitrogen removal. And this is because the trees had higher evapotranspiration potential. So we you would have less amount of water in the outlet of the buffer strips.
Right, so they were able to soak up more of the water that ran off from the paddock and therefore take up more of the nutrients that were in that runoff. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So what was also interesting is that in some of these buffer strips, the removal of subsurface was negative. And how could that happen? Because the amount of water that was entering in the subsurface to this buffer strip was less than the one that you would have at the outlet, because you would have infiltration of runoff.
Can you explain that a bit further?
Yeah, sure. So in some of these buffer strips, so it's important to have clear that loads of nitrogen is different than the concentration of nitrogen.
Right.
So when you would have, for example, the concentration, it just means the presence the presence of nitrogen in let's say, water. But when you take into account the amount of water, you talk about loads of nitrogen, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, as we would have more water at the outlet of the buffer strips in the subsurface, you could have more loads in the subsurface, right? But not in the surface.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So once you sum up runoff losses and subsurface losses, buffer strips were always more effective.
So, I guess going back to that, do seasonal factors play a role with the buffering capacity of these vegetated strips?
Right. So even though you would expect that nitrogen losses should be higher in autumn-winter season because of the rainfall, in this study, nitrogen losses were significantly higher in spring-summer season.
Interesting.
In both years. And this was basically because during spring, the farmer applied furrow irrigation or surface irrigation.
Right.
And heavy fertilization, so around 450 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Yeah, so that's why we saw way higher nitrogen loads in the spring season.
So what kind of reductions were you seeing with the vegetated buffer strips? What percentage of pollutants were being filtered out?
So the remotion of nitrogen in the buffer strips were around 60 to 80%, the biggest one, the highest one. But the loads of nitrogen leaving the buffer strips during the spring season was around 20-25 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare during winter was around 2 to 3 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Now, it's also very important to take into account the soil type when setting up this kind of edge of field strategies. In our field, in the sandy soil, there was almost no runoff and barely some subsurface flow. And so most of the water went straight to the deep groundwater, and so the efficiency of buffer strips in these situations can be significantly reduced. So as a take-home message, buffer strips may not always be efficient in any condition. Soil types is also a very important factor to consider. Buffer strips would perform reasonably well in a fine textured soil or clay soil.
Yep, definitely. That makes sense. So I guess to change topic a bit, you're now doing your PhD in the Horowhenua district. What techniques and mitigation strategies are you trialling there?
Yeah, as you might well know, Arafata catchment, which is close to the Horowhenua Lake, is one of the most productive areas of vegetables in the North Island. And there aren't many studies about nitrogen losses towards intensive vegetable fields, especially in New Zealand. So the idea about this project is to quantify the amount of nitrogen leached to groundwater and surface drains from this field. So the first key question here would be how much nitrogen is being lost from this field. And the next step is to assess the performance of in-field and edge-of-field strategies to reduce these nitrogen losses. So where and how efficient would these techniques be in reducing nitrogen?
Right, so you're looking at what's the size of the problem now and what potential treatments could have an impact and which ones are going to be most effective.
Exactly. But because assessing mitigation strategies could take a long time of monitoring, I will use different calibrating models to simulate the effect of placing these strategies at both paddock scale and catchment scale.
Right, so looking at things from the fine detail perspective at the individual paddock and then modelling it up to a greater scale of the whole catchment as well.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Well, thanks, Fernando. We wish you all the best with the rest of your project work and researching nitrogen loss in the Horowhenua district. It's been great to hear your insights about vegetated buffer strips and what edge of field treatments can do to reduce nitrogen loss and other pollutants heading off to waterways. So thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome, Georgia.
The Landwise Promoting Sustainable Crop Production podcast series was brought to you by our sponsors. We appreciate the generous support from BASF, Hawke's Bay Regional Council, Vegetables New Zealand and Processed Vegetables New Zealand.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kidnappers, a community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.